right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Before we get rolling here, you guys have heard me talk about Quater by Travis Matthew, specifically the Legend shoe that you've been seeing in a lot of videos. If you like the Legend or the Moneymaker, which we've also talked about, they've also added two new additions to their golf footwear line, the Ringer and the Wildcat. Apparently, we've got some in the mail coming our way, and I can't wait to add them to the mix. The new premium performance golf shoes have something for everyone. So you can, without sacrificing style, the Quater shoes incorporate useful technology into premium performance products. So I didn't really realize until after I put on the Legend shoe how much my other white shoes were just clunky and how bad they were giving me blisters and how uncomfortable they were. I kind of thought just a white almost dress style golf shoe had to be uncomfortable. That was before I tried Quater from Travis Matthew. So if you're interested in giving Quater a try, first time customers will get 15% off their purchase when they visit Quater.com. That's 15% off your first Quater purchase. www.quater.com. That's Quater.com. Now let's get to our podcast with Colin Morikawa. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. We are here, early morning riser here at the Players Championship on Tuesday. Already a PGA Tour winner, no longer rookie, Colin Morikawa. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You're an early riser. Is this a normal thing for you? Are you up early practicing?
I am. And it's tough because like a bunch of the young guys, when I ask them like, oh, you want to go play in the morning? They're like, they give me a questionable look because it's like, why do you want to get up so early? And it's kind of who I've always been. Like, I'd rather get up early, get everything done, and go from there.
There's a lot I want to cover with you. One, and I have a feeling, you are a polished, college player. You played for 4 years. I think you were, I would imagine, well, let me ask it that way. Do you feel like you were ready to come out and play professionally before you actually did? I mean, why was it important to you to get a degree?
I think I was. I mean, I thought about it sophomore year. I don't think I was as ready sophomore year, but that junior year, I definitely thought about turning pro.
And what was your record like for people that don't know in college?
I mean, let's see. I was a three-time first-team All-American. For even my freshman year, I was a third-team All-American. Had the lowest scoring average in NCAA history. Beat out Bill Haas, I believe, from Wake. Had the leading NCAA scoring average, I think, my junior year.
You've spouted this resume off before.
And these are things like I've told my caddy and like, to be honest, right now, it doesn't matter at all. Like, I could have been the 1,000th ranked player as an amateur, and like, it all disappears. And that's what's crazy about every kind of level you go from. Like, it was such a big realization when I went to college, because like that junior career you had didn't matter. Now you're playing for a team, everything matters there. So like, for me, when you are that rookie, when you're that freshman, it doesn't matter. You're on a blank slate. And you have to go prove to yourself first that you're able to do this.
Which the next step in when you turn pro is, like you said, you start from a blank slate. None of that counts. You're getting some sponsors exemptions at least to start your career. But can you, I guess, explain, every chance I get to emphasize how difficult it is to get a tour card in 7 starts. Are you overwhelmed at all with, the challenge that was, obviously not, you won shortly after that, but before it started, are you thinking like, whoa, I got my work cut out for me. I got to go straight to the PGA Tour and try to get 125th ranked FedEx Cup points right away?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about being ready. And junior year, I was ready, but I asked John Rahm at my Ben Hogan Award my first year I was there, why'd you stay 4 years? That guy was number one AM for years. Right. Like, not just a small stretch of golf in college. Like, he was ready. And he told me he used that senior year to prep and get ready for the PGA Tour, get ready for whatever was to come. And that's what I used it for. Not only just to try clubs, figure out what companies I was going to be with, but like figure out how I'd spend my weeks here. Because I played 2 PGA Tour tournaments as an amateur, 1 now Korn Ferry event. And the PGA Tour events, I'd spend like hours on end on the practice range, putting green, whatever, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I never do that. I never beat balls on the range. I never like am there for hours morning to night. Like, that's not me. I rarely practice after my rounds. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's just not who I am. My caddy has a running joke of just asking me, oh, are you going to go practice after the round? Like, he's just waiting for that day because it'll happen. But for right now, like, I feel mentally prepared after every round. So on that end, you know, I felt like I was so prepared, you know, to go out there that senior year.
So you're saying when you, those first few events, like that was, those events, the PGA Tour events and Korn Ferry events felt very different and that you're practicing a little differently.
Yeah.
But when you came out officially as a pro, yeah, you're like, hey, I am who I am now and I'm not messing with that.
Yeah. Sorry to go off top.
No,
off
no track we there, can go like anywhere off, you want.
Yeah. So those seven events, you have to be ready. You know, there's that 125 number that you got to reach to get your card.
Did you know what that point number was?
I didn't know what that points number, because for me, if I got ahead of myself that summer, just for the next event, that next start, it was going to be like, you know, yeah, you're going to start thinking ahead. You're going to be like, oh, I need to finish 24th just to get enough points. And like, that's when things go bad.
Yeah.
That's when everything goes bad. And for me, you know, I just had to go out there and literally try and win. And I don't think I had that mindset until I heard Brooks. Yeah, I was just, I heard it. I read it through something. Brooks at Travelers, which is when, you know, all of us rookies, it was the four of us, me, Matt Wolf, Victor Hovland, Justin Suh, they all kind of touted us, put us all on a pedestal together right there, said we're all starting here, even though I already had two starts already.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said, or I heard Brooks say, I went from thinking about just making cuts when I first turned pro to top 25s, top 10s, top 5s to winning. And I know he obviously has that mindset. We're going to win every week. Rory has that mindset. Tiger has that mindset. So why can't I just change my mindset like that quicker? I felt like I prepped already. I felt like my game was there. Why not change it to, you know, miss or making cuts are great, to let's try and win. So that summer, there was a lot to you know, to work through. And after 3M happened, I was still shy of so many points I needed.
Which is crazy.
And I had three more starts left. And I knew I was going to get it done. I just had that feeling it was going to happen, you know?
That attitude probably helps lead to your first PGA Tour win. But
yeah.
Is there at a certain level, obviously we're at the Players, which is one of the biggest productions in golf as far as media and TV and fans and all that stuff. But the more I come out to tournaments, the more I kind of realize, oh yeah, this kind of, in a very small way, looks like my high school golf tournaments, in that there's all this other noise going around, but inside the ropes, it's just like about a golf tournament. Did you feel like that transition from college to pro, is it at all a distraction, all the things that are going on around you, or did it feel pretty similar when you go to tee it up?
Well, I think that's what, you know, I kind of use that senior year to prep for.
Yeah.
Because there's all these club companies. I mean, I'm very fortunate to be with two of the best companies. I'm with TaylorMade and Adidas. Like, I love them, you know, but senior year in college, I had a bunch of different clubs in my bag, in my apartment, everything to test. And that's what I realized. Like, you can come out here every single week and have a new set of clubs, different clubs, and like, you'd be like, yeah, they're working great, because like, it's just new stuff. You think it's always gonna work, even if it's not the newest product, just new clubs are like, oh, this is different, this will help me. And I've had to realize, like, let's not change as much, because that's the biggest thing when you come out here. There are so many distractions, and you have to stay focused on what you're here to do.
How are you able to do that?
I think it's just thinking about what the end goal is for the week. You know, where do we want to be on Sunday? We want to be in the final group. We want to be walking down 18 with the lead. We want to be in contention every single weekend. Those are lofty goals, but you have to set yourself to, you know, you have to put a path, at least I do. I have to put a path and a goal that's what I want to do.
And that's what, that end. It can come off as arrogant or cocky if you have that kind of attitude of like being out here to win. And like, Tiger kind of got some blowback when he came out saying like, no, I'm here to win. And sometimes as fans, people can look at that and kind of roll your eyes at it. But the more I've like covered this, I think like, no, you have to have that attitude. Or it's like you said, if you like what Brooks said, and that quote that he had stuck with me too. It's like, if you have your eyes around the cut line, you're probably going to be around the cut line.
100%.
And there's a story somebody told me recently. It was a friend of a friend or something, used to be a tour pro and was kind of middling and played with Tom Lehman one time. And he asked Tom Lehman in one of the first 2 days, like, hey, what do you think the cut's going to be? And Layman just like looked at him like, I have no idea. Like, I don't think about the cut.
Yeah.
And that light bulb kind of went off for him. So, I mean, realistically, playing again on a sponsor's exemption in Barracuda, are you, when you go to tee it up that week, did you see that golf course and think, I can win on this? Or was that at least a little bit of a surprise to you?
It was weird because at the end of the week, I had no clue what I shot.
I only
knew points. And like, that's the first time I've really been in that mode. Like, you know, we've had low rounds where you're kind of like, oh, wow, I'm 6, 7, 8, 9. But like, I still know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I had zero clue what
that
I shot.
Had to help.
And I think it did. And there, you know, there's a point to just that format where it did help because I was just trying to make as many birdies as I could. But yeah, you know, that was the first week when I had guaranteed my card for next year. And yeah,
that was your first start.
That was my first start. Yeah, so yeah. John Deere, I earned enough points to meet that 125 minimum. And, you know, I wanted to extend my season. There was only one way to do that. It was either there or Wyndham, and I had to win. And it was all out or nothing, you know, or else I would have had a longer break. And, you know, that's what I was going for. I had to win. But go back to that mindset of let's win. You know, you can't just jump to I'm going to win and not
right.
do anything. But, you know, there's just that extra edge of like, I want to continue to play. The season is not over. Let's keep it going. And I had a really good three stretch of the last holes there to make birdie.
I can understand the win. I can understand the success you had. What I can't understand, and I don't want to jinx it going into this week, you haven't missed a cut yet on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, let's hold
on. All of it. I'm going to get roasted if you miss the cut this week. I'm just saying, like, that's got to be at least a little bit astonishing to you.
You know, consistency is one of my biggest things.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a comfort level that you have to reach out here, and you go back to, how can me, Matt, Victor come out here this early and play so well, have our wins, whatever. And for us, I think it's a comfort level. You know, I've said it from day one. We believe in ourselves. We're always going to keep doing that. But I think there's a sense of comfort that for me, I didn't know as many guys. You know, Victor and Matt knew like Ricky. They knew a couple of guys. I knew guys that went to Cal. I knew a lot of West Coast guys, a lot of the younger guys. You know, but my first week in Canada, I was able to have dinner with Justin Thomas. That helps. Like, to meet all these guys, I've met Tiger now. I've met Gary Woodland, Justin Rose, I got to talk with before I turned pro. Like, all these guys getting to know made it easier when I turned pro. Because when you step out there, if I compare it to college, I know every single person that's out there for the most part.
Every term you're playing.
Not even just players. I know coaches. I know media, I know doctors, whatever it is, I know it. And that's what made college so much easier is when you're a junior, senior, because you know what's going on around. I still don't know where bathrooms are out here. I don't know where to park. I don't know. Like today I got lost driving to the parking lot and there's one entrance. Like I had to ask
two
different people.
It is big here.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it literally says player lot and like I still get lost. And for me, like, it's how comfortable can I get quickly? And that's, you know, a big thing. Thankfully, I got a veteran caddy, JJ Jackvac, on the bag, and that made it so much easier. But for me, it's consistency. You look at what Rory's done the past year, you know, John Rahm, they're contending every week. They're finishing top fives every single week. And that's where I want to get to. Mm-hmm. And that's where I thought my college game was. But that's where I want to be out here.
If you're listening to this episode, that means that episode 7 of season 5 of Tourist Sauce on our YouTube channel is out. This season is, of course, presented by our partner, Original Penguin. You will see us rocking their gear throughout the entire season. Episode 7 takes you to Pinehurst, the number 4 course, the new Gil Hanse restored, redesigned. I'm not sure exactly how you want to classify it. Yours truly and young Neil Schuster are in a death match. He is either moving on, he's gone all in, or he's going home. He has $41, and he's pushed it in the pot, and we have a great match that goes a long way. So go ahead and check that out. And while you're at it, swing by originalpenguin.com for anyone that wants to shop there. Use the promo code, do originalpenguin.com/NLU30, And you'll get a one-time use code for 30% off your first order at originalpenguin.com. Always remember to be an original. Swing by our YouTube channel, check that out, and go to originalpenguin.com/NLU30. Let's get back to Colin Morikawa. Did you, because you grew up on the West Coast, how much experience did you have playing like in Florida? Because that's what's kind of amazing me about all the locations you're playing and stuff is there's a lot of different grass types, and a lot of young guys struggle when they, you know, sometimes when they come see Bermuda, they like can't stand it just because they're not used to it. So yeah. Has there been any, there hasn't clearly been too much, but what's the learning process been like on playing in different parts of the country? I'm sure you traveled some as a junior, but playing consistently on a type of grass is a different thing.
It's huge. I mean, I remember, I played the junior players here in like 2013, 2014. So the biggest realization I had in playing Bermuda was when I played a match play. It was an AJGA, tournament, Rolex tournament, whatever, at the end of the year at PGA National. And I realized I can't chip in Bermuda, I can't play in the wind, and my game sucks. Like, I did not play well. It was like you play 2 days of stroke play, then you have match play, didn't make match play. And I just stood on the range the day after and like tried to figure out how to hit a ball in the wind. And it was still a learning process. I'm still figuring out, you know, what works best. But that's when I realized, this was probably when I was 15, 16, when I was like, I need to get better. And, you know, from then on, it's been a huge work in progress to figure out, you know, how to chip in this grass, how to putt out here with grain. And, you know, thankfully I've been able to travel across the entire country and play a lot more golf now. You know, we had a couple college events out here on the East Coast. So, you know, for right now I've seen everything I pretty much could have seen.
I was gonna say, had you seen anything like Bay Hill last
thankfully,
week?
you know, it. I thought it was hard. My caddy and I looked at each other and we were like, golf's not hard. The ground is very hard. Mm-hmm. And we just had to laugh at it because we knew, you know, it was tough to play. But for us, like, I felt like my game was there. I felt like I can go out there, play really good golf. And, you know, I thought I did. I just made some stupid errors that, you know, at the end of the round, you're going to look at and realize, you know, it costed me a couple shots and it's going to happen.
Right. I mean, that's what everyone we've talked to is just like putting on those greens. It was almost like there was no grass to grab the ball. It's just like gliding.
The ball's literally floating. And when you have wind, down grain, downhill, it's good luck.
Yeah, it was border on not fun to watch, but for the most part, it was fun to watch. Has there been anything about turning pro, playing on the tour, anything that's really kind of surprised you? Something that's been different than what you thought it would be? Some of the things you talked about there, just about like you didn't know where to go and all that stuff, is I think people can underrate how much stuff you guys got to like do on your own and figure out. And like the stress that comes with not knowing where you're staying and mm-hmm. getting to the course, what time to leave, what the traffic's going to be like. Those are things you learn 5 years in probably. But what's kind of surprised you about anything in the process?
Yeah. It's a tough one because there's not a lot, because I really think my senior year I prepped as much as I could for getting out here. But like you said it right on, like I don't know where to stay. Sometimes these weeks you're better off staying as close as you can to the course. Other weeks, 10, 15 minutes are perfectly fine. And it's just getting a grasp of like what to do, you know, who you're going to play practice rounds with. But, for everyone listening, like our weeks aren't just Thursday through Sunday. We're here either Sunday night, Monday morning, you're flying in. And especially for like guys like me, the rookies out here, the young guys, we need to play as many rounds as we can. I'm fortunate enough to be in the Wednesday pro-ams, but like this summer I wasn't. So I had to get all my work done in a Monday pro-am. And then Tuesday I had to get all my work done. Wednesday I'm just practicing. So, you know, we have full weeks that we're just getting prepped for just for Thursday through Sunday. And then you got to do it all over again on a course you've never seen, place you've never been. And for us, you know, it's just how quickly can you learn? And, that, you know, I love doing that because I love learning just off of like other people, watching them play, you know, whether it's I'm watching you play or like anyone, like I can kind of just pick up something if, you know, you're decent at it.
You're not picking up anything from this side of the table. not right now. Do you have a relationship with Max Homa at all?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
We played with him yesterday, and we play with a decent amount of pros in the area. But you know, I can hold my own. I can stay within 6-8 shots. He vaporized. He shot 63 yesterday with an OB,
oh, there you go.
With an OB ball on a par three.
It no shanks? Nuts.
No so, shanks. Okay.
So what people don't realize is that he had two shanks that week,
okay,
not just one. He had the one that was obviously on video, but I played with him the first two rounds, and I think it was the first day on hole 12, no, hole 5 after the par 5.
Dogleg left par 4 is number
yeah,
5
the short
Bay Hill.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, number yeah. 5 right
Cross
before,
bunkers.
Yeah, right in between the par 5s.
Yep.
He was in the bunker, short-sided, and kind of bladed, but I'm going to call it a shank because like it came out straight to the right, and like I laughed because like...
It happens,
I mean,
yeah.
He shanked it. But yeah, I mean, people don't realize, but... I mean, Max is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, getting to know him, he was a big reason why I went to Cal. Him, Brandon Hagee, Max Homa, Joel Stalter, you know, this dream team that they had of Cal Golf 2012, 2013. Like, that's what I wanted to be in.
Was it always Cal for you?
It wasn't. You know, no. For me, I looked at the Pac-12. I looked everywhere. And to me, I wanted to go to the best school. But Pac-12, to me, has always been the strongest. My mom went to USC. Growing up in LA, literally right near the Rose Bowl, like you could almost see it from my house. Pac-12 was the biggest thing. And I took a while to decide. To be honest, I didn't like the campus when I first went there. I thought it was a little weird, but I grew to like it. I loved my 4 years I was up there in the Bay Area, and it'll always be kind of a second home for me.
Are you second home? That was my question.
Home.
Have you moved? Are
home.
You still live in California?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I live in Vegas now.
Okay. I was getting ready. It listed on your tee time for this week that it listed California.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, he hasn't seen those taxes yet on his paycheck.
No, is that
the reason for moving?
I moved out there very as quickly as I could.
Really?
I moved. I mean, I had a house pretty much before I turned pro. And we were ready. Yeah, I didn't want to stay in California. I think LA will always be home. I'm able to go back. My brother's a junior in high school, so like I still come and visit. But yeah, I had to get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Any reason in particular? Or just kind
well,
of you want to?
I think everything.
Yeah,
everything. You put taxes, but you also put golf courses you can play, guys you can go practice with. You know, you want to have a group of guys you can always go out, play with, have a match, because that's what keeps you sharp.
So who do you play with, and where do you play in Vegas?
So I'm at a discovery course called the Summit. Pretty new, awesome place to be at. But I'm playing a lot with like younger guys, Shantara Bond, John Oda, David Lipsky, Alex Kang. David Lipsky and I actually grew up in the same city, La Cunada, California. Went to the same high school, never met each other. And then like, I think sophomore year of college, I saw him practicing in LA at the same course I was at. And you know, he's been an awesome guy to get to know. And then, you know, I've got to meet a bunch of older guys like Scott Piercy, Kevin Na, Ryan Moore, that all live in Vegas. And like, it's just this smaller group. And now that it's even growing even more. You know, Justin Suh, I think, is going to move out there. Norman Zhang lives out there. Doug Gim, Maverick McNeely, like all these guys I grew up with playing are all out there. So it's fun to play with because, like, you know, when I have 1 week off, I'm practicing for 3 days, 4 days. So I just want to go out and play with these guys.
I was going to say, do you need, like, what are you trying to simulate, right? I mean, do you have to play for a lot of money at home to
$5 still gets me going.
Okay, good. That's what it's never yeah. seems to be like playing, like, guys. There's a certain group of guys that play for a lot of money, but almost everyone else, it's not. And God, I have never seen any of the games we play, the people that hate losing the most, like paying out a very not large amount of money, are professionals.
Yeah.
I
mean, I don't mind playing for more, but like if I go back to my college guys that I graduated with and like we want to go bet $5 now, yeah, that'll still get me because I still want to win. Like it doesn't have to be $1,000 a hole. For me to like, oh yeah, now I'm motivated. I want to win $5.
There's a tour pro that we see a lot around here. He's probably 8 to 10 million in career earnings, and there was a day he lost $300. And every time I run into him, he still mentions that day that he lost $300.
Yeah, no, I'd hold that up because like for me as a competitor and as an athlete and a golfer, like, I want to win no matter what we're doing. Like, we can go be outside, like, throwing a piece of paper at a trash can. I want to try and beat you at it because I want to be better.
Is there any, I'm sure there's, you would say there's a lot of things you need to improve on, but is there anything you've seen in your time out here, any particular shots, any particular wins, or anything that you've seen that you're like, whoa, okay, now that I've experienced that in tournament competition on the PGA Tour, I need to learn that. I need that shot.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking ball striking, because I think that's, you know, one of my strengths, but I still need to keep working on it because it's not like it just is going to stay there forever. I got to keep it, you know, nice and tight. I cut the ball a lot. I like to work it left to right. So when I have a narrow gap or trees down the left or wind off the left, I need to have a shot that's going to put me in the fairway that I, you know, that I can hit really straight. I played two days with Joaquin, I guess. And he has this nice stinger.
He hits it low.
Yeah. If you saw that shot at Kapalua, it was low. Like, that's what I want. I need to have that shot, not for every time, but like, just to have a shot like that that I can put in play that's going to roll, you know, it'd be great at the British Open. So for me, it's just to figure out the left to right winds, especially if I cut the ball off the tee. Irons, I think I can work the ball, no problem. But it's just with the driver I got to figure out. Other than that, everything short game, putting, chipping, bunkers. I've had some highs with my bunker. You know, right now, bunker game's kind of been a little iffy, but it's just, like you said, week by week, sand is different, bunkers are different, conditions are different, whether the ground's firm, soft, you just got to figure it all out that Monday through Wednesday and, you know, hope you're ready.
Matt Every said something interesting on the pod a couple days ago just about TPC Sawgrass in particular, in that he thinks it favors guys that move it right to left because a lot of the holes that require that, require it moving right to left, you can't start it left. Like number two and number 16, those holes, there's no option to like hit a fade. And some, like, even pros, you know, tree height doesn't usually stop guys. If you want to hit a fade, even on a right to left dogleg, guys can hit fades and hold fairways and stuff like that. But this place, have you experienced that at all out here?
So, I mean, I played the front nine yesterday, and two, I will not be taking driver unless the wind is hard off the right.
Yeah.
I mean, I told my caddy I won't do it. I mean, I looked at it yesterday and was like, and we tried it. And like, yeah, I can pull off a draw driver. But like, I can still reach the green with three wood, two iron or whatever, and like be perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. So I might not be taking as advantage as like Rory when he's 70 yards ahead of me. But like, what are you going to do? Like, I've got to stick to my game and play well, because I think I can still play well with what I do. It's not like I have to now have a 330-yard draw driver in my bag.
Right.
That's one shot I'm going to have. So yeah, there's a couple holes out here that I might need a little draw off the tee, but like, for the most part, if I'm in the fairway, I'm going to be perfectly fine with a 5-iron, and I feel like I can still put it to 10 feet.
What do you think of the players? You know, coming, you're not a seasoned vet on the tour yet, but what is your impression of the Players' Championship? I know it, you know, kind of, people will do the fifth major debate every year when it comes around. Actually, it's been kind of quiet on that front this year. But what is like your, how do you view this week? Is it any different than a normal tournament week, or is it a bigger deal to you?
You know, I don't want to downplay it. And a couple people have asked me, like, what does the Players mean to you? And I think it's, to me, it's one of the strongest fields for sure. Like, it's got everyone playing in it, that everyone, you know, whoever can play in it, they're playing. But growing up, like, watching the Players, I thought it was always a cool event to watch, because obviously you have 16, 17, 18, you know, always makes for an interesting finish. But I'm watching the four majors. You know, for me, it's like, you've got the US Open, Masters, British Open, PGA. And like, the Players was just another event during the week that we were going to go watch. And, you know, I think it's awesome what this event means to everyone, because this is, you know, this is our tournament. This is what, you know, everyone wants to win as well. But I'm out here, as it's another week. Like, why not just go prep like it is? Mm-hmm. And let's just go play another four rounds of golf.
Are you guys making the recommendation for the pairing? Are you guys getting...
I wish. Well,
is it? Are you fatigued at all Max yet of Homa. The grouping? No, I'm saying the grouping. You got Matt Wolf and Victor Hovland. It seems like you guys are all attached at the hip. Like, whenever one of you gets mentioned, we have like a running joke about it. Like, you have to mention the other two guys. Is that wearing on you yet at all, a little bit?
No, and it's weird because normally when you group, like, the Spieth and Justin Thomas or whatever, that there's that grouping of that class. I don't know what, I think it's like the high school class of 2011.
Right.
They're all the same age. Me, Matt, and Victor are all different ages.
Right.
Like, we are not, we're not the same age. We did not grow up in the same class. Like, if you just talk about my class, it's me. I don't even know who else is on. Me, Sam Burns.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. You know? So, but I know we're going to be grouped forever. Like, it's not tiring to hear because I love these two. I love the two other guys. And it's the first time we're finally playing together. I've already played with Victor. I mean, I've played with each of them separately. I haven't played with all three. So it'll be really fun because, I mean, I love both of them. I think we work really well. And yeah, you're not trying to help each other, but I think we do help each other just being around each other, yeah, when we play, because there's that comfort level.
Compare and contrast your guys' games. I mean, I know we've seen Wolf swing, and we at least know a little bit about Hovland, and he's becoming more prevalent on the PGA Tour. But how would you kind of compare and contrast your games?
I'd pick Wolf's driving because he hits the ball a mile. I mean, it's unbelievable how far he hits it, and he hits it pretty straight. Like, he hits it high and straight, and it's awesome to watch. I mean, it's something that I think we all wish we had, but we can't. Victor's interesting off the drive because he has that, you know, that double pump or whatever you want to call it.
How often does he do that?
When I played with him over the summer, he did it quite often.
Huh.
But I don't know if he's been doing it. I haven't seen him play, so I don't know if he did it when he won in Puerto Rico, but it definitely goes farther. Has a little draw to it. So Wolf's game, hit it high, hit it far, you know, that's kind of his thing. But like, I think he putts great. I think he's a great putter, solid around the greens. I think Victor is similar to my game. Like, we hit it an average distance, whatever. We get it out there enough.
Average. You hit like 5-iron from 230 into it.
We hit it average.
At 3M. We got to talk about that shot.
Yeah, we will. But, you know, Victor, I think I love Victor's putting. That, like, the little longer putter, I might actually have to try that sometime soon because he's been in that forever, and I think he rolls the ball really well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many putts he makes, but I think he rolls it really, really well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my game is just a ball striking freaking galore. Like, that's what I've always done, and that's why, you know, the 4 years in college was so big, because if I came out here with my ball striking, even in college, but my chipping as a junior, yeah, you guys would laugh at me because really? It would be atrocious. Like, it would be scary to watch.
But you improved.
And that's one thing I went into college my freshman year. I knew I had to improve it. There's a couple guys on my team that had great short games, and I'd just do chipping competitions with them every single day, and that's how I'd practice, watching them chip. And just trying to, like, not replicate them, but learn something off of that. Because I think everyone learns the best when you tell yourself how to do it. But for me, like, I love watching Matt play. I love watching Victor. I love watching all these guys play whenever I'm out here. Because I can just kind of pick up something. Not, like, how they're doing it, but just a feel. Or just to ask them how they feel it. And then see if I can, like, translate that in my head. Because, like, if I tell you how to hit the ball, you're not going to hit it exactly the same, but you got to figure out that feel for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for our games, I think we're all really good ball strikers. Matt, Victor, me, we're all really good ball strikers. Can we figure out this short game is going to be the biggest thing? Because
mm-hmm.
I think if we figure out our chipping, we figure out how to make a couple more putts. It's not like we got to make 15 more putts. How do we make 3 more putts a tournament? That's 3 shots right there.
Mm-hmm.
Our games will just take off.
Well, it's Victor after Puerto Rico that he won.
I saw.
He goes and says, "I suck at chipping. I got exposed out there."
That's hilarious. Victor, it's crazy because I haven't known Victor as much as I did Matt. I mean, I knew Matt as a junior. We played a lot of high school golf together. Not a lot. He was a sophomore when I was a senior. But I got to see him a lot as a junior. College, I didn't see him until, you know, my junior year. And Victor's a freaking funny dude. Like, he's really funny. Got that sarcasm. Like, I think I'd compare him closer to Max, because, like, if you get to know Max, he's hilarious. If you just see him walking around, like, I was like, oh, dude, this guy's just a regular dude, like, just walking around in some Vans. But Victor, Victor's funny.
He was about, I forget what tournament it was. He was like the favorite in one of the events last year. And I think he...
Victor
was.
Okay.
And somebody asked him about him in the press conference, and he's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Stay off the weed.
Yeah, I mean, Victor, he's great. He's great. And, like, Matt just brings such a lively, young feeling. I mean, like, I'm the old one, and I feel like the older one of the group. But Matt is just, he's such a kid still, and he has to stay. I think he's got to stay that way because that's just who he is.
I played with him a couple months ago down in Jupiter, and he had just rap blaring with the biggest speaker from a cart I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, he's not even 21 yet, mm-hmm. which we found out after the round. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot. Like, you're not even, you should be in college right now. Yep. It's wild. Yeah. On the chipping thing, I want to ask, like, when you said you had stuff to learn and how you address that, is it a technique thing? I mean, did your technique for chipping change, or was it just literally just being around a chipping green, hitting a bunch of shots?
It's just hitting a bunch of shots. It's, you know, yeah, I had to work on a few technique things and figure out, you know, where my hand should be here and there, what path or whatever. But for the most part, I think our techniques are fine and they work. I know they work because we've been able to use them in tournaments and we've been perfectly fine. But it's having the mindset and that creativity of going to different shots and being able to hit different chip shots, different heights, different spins, and just being comfortable wherever you are. That's the thing about golf. You're never going to have that same shot, you know, the normal stuff. But in chipping, you know, you're never going to be in that perfect flat lie where you practice chipping, mm-hmm. where you have like 5 yards to carry, 5 yards to run out. That's never going to happen. You know, you're always going to be short-sighted. You're going to have a tough chip shot. And it's being creative, having those different shots when you go and practice, like doing those things. So that's the biggest thing for me, is just staying creative, throwing balls everywhere around the practice green and chipping green, and just seeing, you know, how I can hit that shot.
Well, let's go to the 3M there. I meant to go back and watch it, but take me to that 18th hole. what was the scenario for you? You were ahead of, in the group ahead of Wolf, is that right?
No, we played together.
The same group. That's
we
right.
were in
that's
the
right.
final group. That's right. I mean, whatever start this was like start 3 for him, 5 for me. Final group, and I was actually 2 over through 3. Yeah, through 3 holes, and like
you got to make birdies out there.
Yeah, to make birdies. I think we already lost the lead before we even teed off. You just had to make birdies. But going to 18, we're walking down 18 fairway. Matt and I both striped our tee shots, and we look at each other, and we're just smiling because like we knew this is exactly what we wanted in our life. This is not going to be the last time it's going to happen, and let's go make something happen. Mm-hmm. So man, a little downhill lie. I don't know how far I had, like 220, 210 or whatever. Adrenaline pumping, you know, I'm ready to hit the shot. And like, this is what I'm prepped for. So let's hit this great cut 5 iron. I mean, it couldn't have set up better. And yeah. I flushed it. I flushed the iron. And there's a little backstop, and I was kind of wishing it came down a little bit. But like, I had 25, 30 feet, all I could ask for, and hit a great shot. And that's what you want to do. That's why you practice, because you want to be in those positions to hit that shot and, you know, come away with it. And then, you know, we're on the green. Matt's out first, hits his putt. I'm like, wow, this is good. You know, and I had to anticipate that he was going to make it. I had to make my putt no matter what. It's not like I was trying to lag my eagle putt before he made it. But, like, after he made it, you know, there was only one shot. Just go in or we're walking home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hit a great putt. I would hit that putt 10 out of 10 times the same way. I had my caddy read it. Great green reader. And, you know, just kind of missed a little low. And that's going to happen.
Right.
But that's to be in math, to be in that scenario, to be in that position, that's all I could ask for.
God, that sounds fun. I mean, had you experienced that kind of adrenaline factor with yardages before? I mean, that at that level.
Yeah.
Dial back to 5?
You had to. And, like, I think my caddy wanted me to hit 6 because we had a little downslope and like I still could have carried. But like for me, what is that go-to shot? When you're under pressure, you got to have that go-to shot. For me, it was that cut. What, you know, I could choke up on the 5 iron, hit a cut, and that's what I did. And that's my go-to shot. I'm not comfortable hitting just a full-on 6 iron straight at the pin. I'd rather cut something in, and like that's why I practice it to have it in those scenarios. But like, you know, you go back even to 17 or 16, 16, I don't know, 16, 15. Matt and I both had birdie putts within 3 feet. Tap-ins. 15, I made a or 16, I made a birdie. And then you go to 17 and people like tell me, oh man, your birdie putt should have went in on 17 and like pretty much 360'd out or whatever. I thought my putt was going like 10 feet past the hole. So really? Like I was happy. I was pretty happy for it to lip out and have a tap-in because like people thought it should have gone in. I thought it was missing for sure. It was just too firm. I thought it was too high, like caught the hole, luckily. Mm-hmm. But that was just an awesome event to be a part of.
Well, I think in talking and hearing your mental approach to the game and the way you describe that scenario, it makes my next question kind of feel kind of dumb with what is the nerves like? Because it seems like you're mentally prepared for that situation and it's not a fact. I'm sure nerves are a factor, but it's not like you were especially nervous in that scenario. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, I mean, nerves are there, but you have to channel your nerves and change it to, not excitement, but just like, you know, you're ready to go out there and play and compete. You know, if you take those nerves and you use it as like nervous energy, you want to call it, that's when you kind of just, things don't go well. Mm-hmm. But you have to change that nervous energy to how to hit a good shot, how to, you know, what are we going to do? This is the shot I want to hit. How are we going to do it? And, you know your adrenaline's going to be there. You're going to hit it a little farther. It's going to, ball's going to fly if you hit it good. And you just have to think about all the things you normally think about. Not let other things come in. Don't skip your process of like, let's take one more extra practice swing or let's not take one more extra practice swing. Do what you do normally. Mm-hmm. Even though thoughts and things might be running quicker in your head, think about that target, go out there, hit that shot, and execute.
Well,
it's all you can do.
I got a couple more things I want to get to. You did a, when we were at the Barracuda, you did a Q&A with Jason Bone one night. What's it like sharing a stage with that guy?
I didn't know what I was getting into.
And like, I could tell you
I got to watch myself with like who I go in. No, I love getting to know these pros. That was so much fun because like he like lit up the room. Awesome dude, no filter, and like it was just saying a bunch of things that I could just laugh at, and like as a 22-year-old back then, like I was just like,
I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
to
like,
that, buddy.
I can't say anything, no comment, but let this guy speak and go free. But that's what I realized, like, you know, people do love to figure out who you are because they only see us on the golf course, and that's what I realized when I'm able to have lunch with these guys, have dinner, like we're all just normal dudes, you know, all of us are different. We're just normal guys just, you know, playing golf for a living.
Right.
And Jason Bone was like an awesome guy to get to know, really funny guy. And that's what I've realized. A lot of these guys are pretty funny out here. They all have a sense of humor. And you want to find the best ones because, like, when you hear them and you hear their material, like, it's hilarious.
Well, part of being a professional golfer is entertaining. I mean, like a pro-am, that's, you know, people are going to walk away from every pro-am you play in and people are going to ask, what's he like? Golf is like the sport where I feel people care the most about people's personalities. I don't think people are like, what's it like to, like, what's LeBron like?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, golfers are just so much more relatable in that terms. But so one of the things I was going to ask is, you know, when guys come on TV, usually like the broadcasters go to like two or three things almost every time the guy comes on. What's something that people maybe don't know about you that, you know, wouldn't learn from watching on TV?
I love food. I'm not on any diet. I eat everything you put in front of me. So like every week I should actually start doing this, like where I ask people what they recommend to eat because like my girlfriend and I, she travels with me. We like love going to the best restaurants. It doesn't have to be the fanciest, but like give us the best food out there. And like, we're there.
You need
like
the spots,
love to eat.
Talk and to like, Joel Damon.
Yeah, no, his exactly. Wife. I think that they love to eat.
Yeah.
And like, that's, I'm looking forward to Zurich this year. I don't know when this will be posted.
Tonight. So
this will be posted tonight. Okay. So, you know, my partner for Zurich will be very fun. I don't know if you guys know, but
I do,
like,
but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say it, but it'll be released at some point, maybe today. But like the food over there is going to be amazing. My dad has been over there before and like, he's literally spent like 2 days in a business conference and just ate. And like, that's what I love to do. I love to eat. I love playing basketball with my friends at home. I still wish I skied because I love the mountains, but I also love the ocean. I love like just being in the ocean, can't surf, which I wish I could. But, you know, I have a bunch of family in Hawaii, and one summer, you know, not kind of go off track here. Two summers ago, my uncle took us to like the west side of Oahu, which is where the locals go. Like you don't go there as a tourist. And we just wanted to go swim with dolphins. And you can go pay for that stuff, but we were just like, let's go drive early in the morning. So we woke up like before sunrise, drove out there. We just tried looking for some dolphins out there, saw some, and we just swam. We just swam way out in the ocean. And like, that's what I love doing. I love adrenaline. I think my agents hate like when I say I want to go skydiving. You know, you go to Torrey Pines and you see those guys going off the
hang gliders.
I want to do all that stuff. I love adrenaline pump. Yeah. So that's a different adrenaline, mm-hmm. right?
Have you skydived
before? I haven't. Oh, and I don't know who will let me, but if anyone's trained out there.
It's safe. Well, I did it
find
once.
Me.
I did it once and I thought, here's what I was picturing. You go up in the plane and they open a door and then you jump out of it. Our plane didn't have a door. I mean, we went 10,000 feet and I wasn't strapped to the guy yet. So I was more nervous about that part than I was. And like, they could tell I was nervous, and the instructor like nudged the pilot, and the pilot like jerked the wheel a little bit. And I went to go grab for the
wheel. Where'd you do it?
It was in Namibia. So that's probably part of the reason why.
Yeah. Like you see those people like skydive in like Dubai or whatever, right?
Yes. That looks awesome. It was more enjoyable than I could have even imagined. I don't even remember falling out of the plane, but that free fall. And then, so like on the way down, the guy asks like, do you want an adrenaline landing, or do you want to just land smoothly? And I was like, adrenaline.
Yeah.
So we go through the clouds and he starts doing these 360s with the parachute and everything. And then does like a vertical dip and then kind of saved it at the end. And I was, my heart was in my throat. It was very real. The feeling was, as soon as you landed, it was, let's go back up immediately. Like, I don't care what the price is, but like, give me another ride.
That's what I live for. Sorry. I live for food and adrenaline.
Apologies to your agents.
That's what I live for right there. That's me.
Before we let you go, I want to ask about the Christmas card shoot. Because what was it like being in the room with it? Take us there. All the people, how was it? I don't even know how you got all those people in the same room at the same time.
It was like a 6:30 wake up call. We're all there eating breakfast. And they're like, okay, everyone go get changed. So we're all in our own rooms. And I see this onesie, and it's like sitting there, and like,
you didn't know it was going to be a onesie?
No one knew. No one knew it was going to happen. And I look at it, I'm like, this is an extra large. You guys have like a small? And they're like, no, sorry, we only have one size. And even like DJ and Rom were like swimming in it. So like, think about me, I'm 5'9", like small dude. And you know, me and Rory are just like, oh, well, what are you going to do? But it was awesome to see, because that was the first time I really got to interact with like DJ, with Tiger. I really got to spend some time with. I already knew Rory a little bit. I knew Rom. I knew Wolf, obviously, and or Jason Day as well. And like, what a cool experience to start the day with that. I mean, they were not breathable. We were sweating, and it was like 85 degrees and humid that day, so like guys were going through shirts, but like to be in that room, all of us in onesies taking pictures, it was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, what more could you ask for in a situation like that? Because like, those are guys I've watched growing up now, you know, and just
that's why
so
I looked at
fun.
You and Wolf in that photo, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be a wild
you're
experience.
Like, what are these two little kids doing here?
Just like for them, I'm like, they belong there, but like that, those other guys have a lot of experience.
The only thing I had with that was like, we had some really weird postures. Like Jason Day and I think we're on our knees, like one knee up. Like no one does that in a Christmas photo. Like let us just be us and like have Rom carrying me or Rory and like DJ picking up Wolf or something. Like, that's what I think we should have done. But no, I think it came out great.
It was
people
good.
Loved it.
It was funny. What what's your has that been your only experience with Tiger? Have you had any other, have you played with him at all? Or
I've been fortunate enough to be under the same agency, so I've met him a couple times now. But I did play with him. I actually played with him the first two rounds, him and John Rahm at Torrey Pines. And what a special week that was, because him being back in Torrey, crowds there were awesome. And the first thing he gave, you know, he told me, he gave me some, you know, crap about having a Cal yardage book cover in my back pocket right after I teed off.
Really?
I mean, I hit my first drive, striped it. I think I want to say I was like a yard past him. So I think he went first. But I'm not positive on that. We're going to have to check ShotLink. But like three steps down, he's giving me crap about having a Go Bears Cal Yardsbook cover because he wants Stanford.
Sure.
And like that made it so much easier because, yeah, you know, I had already met him, but I hadn't played golf with him. And that made it so much easier for the rest of the day and the next day as well because, like, once again, we're all normal guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he lives in a different limelight spotlight than all of us, but like, you know, I just want to have him as a friend and like a person I can reach out to if I need anything. Because, yeah, he's gone through it all.
Yeah, that's a different Tiger than a lot of guys will tell you that they know.
Exactly. From and like, that's why he was awesome. I think it helped. It was a Thursday, Friday too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Sunday. I'm sure on a Sunday, him leading, he's not going to say a single word to me.
Yeah. Have you heard the Finau story from the Masters? They hadn't chatted much. They're in the final group of Augusta this past year. Haven't chatted much. I think it's like seventh hole. And Finau's like, hey, how are the kids? And he just looked at him and goes, they're good. Yeah. And didn't say another word the rest of the round.
So we had definitely a lot more conversation than that.
Yeah.
Which was awesome to have.
Well, on that note, I don't want to say you're in the Masters, but you're 44th in the world right now.
I know.
It's looking good.
Yeah,
I'm going for like a couple jinxes for you.
You're not going to allow me. Oh my God.
How much has that been on your radar? I know you when we were talking about your temporary membership, you said, I got to go out and play golf and let it all sort out. Same approach to the Masters, I assume.
Same thing. Obviously, at the beginning of this new season, so you go back to fall of 2019, I mapped everything out. We looked at where we were in the world rankings. If I just play some decent golf, we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. And we've slowly worked our way there. I got into my first WGC in Mexico after RIV. Had a great stumble, 5-putt. Yes, I do 5-putt. Hopefully that is the last time in my professional career that'll happen. But
that's POA.
Sure, we can blame it on that. it's been on my mind. It's a tournament I want to be at. You know, I want to be there. And I've got this week, I'm going to play match play. So I've got a couple more weeks to play some good golf, get myself solidified up there. But, we are in a good position and I want to be there. I know there's a lot of young guys. I saw something like this could be one of the bigger fields just because so many guys have qualified for the Masters this year. But it's a place I've never been. It's obviously pretty special to be there. But I've got to worry about this week at the Players. If I start getting ahead of myself,
right.
You know, I still have to tell myself to worry about this week. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I did a really good job of last summer, is not getting ahead of myself. I got to keep doing that. And just look at these as they're all opportunities. You know, you got to take advantage of these opportunities. This is an opportunity to be here at the Players. It's a pretty special week. And let's see if we can make something out of it, because that's what you want to do.
Right. Well, let's get you out of here before I jinx anything or make sure you're not make you look ahead any more than you already have. So, Colin, thanks so much for joining. Best of luck this week at the Players, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from you in the future.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Get the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes. Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!